Morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Good. First thing I'd like to say, I think it's well-known fact, I'm useless at doing the words because I just sing the song. But I was actually having an absolute blinder today until I made one mistake and then I got this off Murray. I got the old... So I saw it. One mistake. I was really proud. And then I fluffed it and I got the sound desk stare, the over-the-shoulder twitch. So I'm really disappointed because I was doing really well. No one noticed anything this morning, did they? The words were just coming. Anyway, Lewis is back next week, so praise the Lord. Lewis actually does the job. So, yeah, good. I've spoken to a lot of people. I'll start in a minute, but everyone seems very tired. It's like a lot of weary, tired strugglers, but... thank God that Jesus specializes in accepting weary strugglers and takes the weight and gives us rest. And yeah, good. We're all warmly welcome this morning. I feel it in myself as well. It's been the conference was a conference. It was great. It was spiritually refreshing, but it was camping with kids. So I'm still tired from that. And then straight back into work and I'm tired, but... thankful, as Larry would say, thankful for caffeine and the Holy Spirit. And we're here, and we're going to be energized, and we're going to enjoy God's presence. Amen. That's good, right? That's it. And now I'm a year older, yeah, that's right. So, yeah, it's all good. But no, it's all coming together. And this is, yeah, we're on our shortened, these are 20-minute sermons, I promise I'll try and stick to that. So it is a bit shorter. It is more ill-prepared this week. I've had very little time. And really, I'm just going to unashamedly be sharing this morning just some of my inner stirrings that have been going on through the summer on the back of the conference that we'd all just been to in the last couple of weeks. So that's what you're going to get. And essentially, all I'm really talking about this morning is just what I'm being stirred up about, which is just walking with God. One of the guys at the conference spoke about this. And it's very much just something that the Holy Spirit has been just churning me up about, stirring up things that needed to be stirred up, and just how we walk with God in our lives. And so in thinking about all that, I did turn 37 this week, and Rachel and I were sort of thinking back through our timeline and thinking, oh, when did this happen? When did this happen? And we realized that it was 20 years ago. And whenever you say that, you think, well, if you take 20 years off, I was a child, surely. But it wasn't. I was 20 years back. Some friends of ours, we were at school in, what were we, first year of sixth form. And I was a non-Christian. I buddied up with some Christians at school who started inviting me to things. And we went to Padstow camping for the weekend. And this just seems like yesterday, it's terrifying. It was 20 years ago. And on that camping trip, anyway, we went down to the beach one day at Padstow. And I actually twigged because it was just before my birth. So I was 16. Oh, you're 16, are you? Close. But I was basically, you know, I was just turning 17 the week after, I think. But anyway, we were there at the beach. I was with these guys. I was a non-Christian, but I'd sort of been exposed to some things and had heard about Jesus and God, and I'd sort of been to a few services maybe. I can't really remember. But I had a moment there where I took myself up to like a sort of a high section on a rock there, and all the guys were down below. But I just took myself off and just sat there for, I don't know how long, quite a while, and the sun started to go down. It was just really pretty at Padstow and all the rest of it. But that was my first encounter, spiritual encounter with God. I sat there, and I don't know what happened. You could sort of look through or give it a theological box of Holy Spirit, heart regeneration, or whatever it was, but something happened there where essentially, like Matt was talking about recently with the biggest question we all have to answer when Jesus says, who do you say that I am? In that moment, something happened where essentially I feel like my eyes were open, like we've just sung about, and I answered that question with, you are Jesus, and I believe you are the Son of God. It just became, I just saw it, and I thought, God is real, and God had never really been real to me. It was just something that I hadn't really ever thought about. But I had a moment where I thought, God is real, and in that moment, I completely gave my heart to God. I didn't really know what that meant, but I knew. I walked off the beach with my friend who'd been taking me along, and I just sort of said to him, Dan, I'm going to become a Christian. That's happened. It did then take a long time for Johnny to sort of actually get somewhere. But that had all happened, and it was really real to me. And I can remember back to that moment where I just gave my heart to God, having seen God, and realized, yeah, all of this that I see around me is God's creation, and and I'm his creation, and I just saw it for the first time ever. And up to that point, I think in life, I think as all of us are, I'd very much just felt alone. When I had a good family, I had friends, but when all of that was taken away and you'd have moments, I felt alone. I was conscious of my loneliness in the universe, if you like. I was very aware of it. And then after that moment, for 20 years to now, if you can really narrow it down to sort of what's the basics of my faith, when I'm not alone. I'm not anymore. I found God that night, and I've walked with him ever since for 20 years. Not perfectly, by any means. It's been very much like this. It's all of our stories as weary, tired strugglers. But that happened, and then for 20 years, I've essentially walked with God, or tried to, and sort of stumbled along and found my way with him. And so if you've got your Bible, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to just jump straight in to verse 7. So this is Paul speaking to the church in Philippi. And I'll have to just jump in for time's sake. But he says, starting in verse 7, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Great passages. The book of Philippians was part of the Bible study we had at the conference, and a guy called Steve stood up and actually preached from these verses. It was brilliant, and it was part of the things that really stirred me. And there's a lot of challenge just in those, whatever that is, seven verses, because immediately you're challenged with our knowing him, our walking with God. And Paul's just absolute, what all of this other stuff that my life, I'd built around my life, I considered that as just rubbish, to know God and to walk with God and to know him and to know his resurrection power. So immediately there's challenge in thinking, well, yeah, how am I doing with knowing God and walking with him day in, day out, and knowing his power in my life? How is that going? So there's challenge there immediately. And then there's challenge in just relating to where Paul is at. He's walking with God. He's knowing his resurrection power. And yet he's also then saying, but I know I'm not perfect. And this is the Apostle Paul. I know I'm not perfect. And I press on. His whole attitude is just, there is more. And I will find more and discover more of the love of God and of his presence. And I will walk with him and go deeper and deeper. There's this heart state of just, I will press on. He says it twice, really quick succession. I will press on. It's very challenging, because I think our default is to sort of just settle and stop. And here's the Apostle Paul saying, no, no. So there's challenge there. And then the other challenge that I think is for me, in looking back over these last 20 years or whatever, and being stirred up, and challenge for all of us, is he says at the end, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. And then he says, we press on. Forgetting all that. The nice scene that I paint of 20 years and a moment in Padstow is 20 years old. And it's great to tell stories. I remember driving, I don't know what we were doing, a worship thing at Quinta. And we drove down with Liv and a few others. And Liv said in the car, oh, who's speaking at church tomorrow? I said, oh, it's me. And she said, oh, great, are you going to tell stories? I thought, why did you say that? And she said, you always tell stories. And I thought, I didn't realize that. And then I went somewhere else and preached, and the guy came up to me at the end and he said, oh, just thank you, it's so contemporary, your contemporary approach to preaching. You just tell stories. And I was like, what was it? Do I? Anyway, say it again. Yeah, it's positive, it's good. But then telling stories is good. You know, telling stories of God's faithfulness and testimony is what it is good. But yeah, it's the challenge is, you know, all of that 20 years, obviously I look back and those 20 years are stamped with faithfulness, the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the kindness, just stamped all the way through. But the challenge for me now in hearing this is, right, forget all of that. Where am I now? And what are we doing now? What's my heart state now? That was all great. On site at work, we say really stupid things all the time, but it makes sense to us. We say things like, we are where we are, and it is what it is, and it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense, but we are where we are, you know, as we're staring at something that's fallen down or whatever. But this morning, we are where we are. It's, you know, to excuse the KC construction gibberish, but we are where we are. And I must forget what lies behind, and it's about what's going forward now, and straining and reaching forward. And I hope that involves walking with God and knowing Jesus day in, day out, and walking with him. Not sort of swaying in and out with him, or dipping in and out of bits of my life and coming on a Sunday and then on, and just this sort of, but just every day walking with God. That is the challenge. And I think the thing I realise is if we're not careful as Christians, those 20 years for me, as I look back on them, essentially I start to view them as gain. And we go back to the beginning of what Paul said, and I hold on to them in a really unhelpful way, and I think, yeah, that's been gained to me, and this has happened, and God's done this, 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 and this, and Paul says, that's great, Johnny, but forgetting all of that that lies behind you, where are you now? What are we doing? What are you doing? Where are you going? We must move on. We must press on to discover the more beyond that Paul is clearly pointing us to. There is more for us to discover. There is a depth. We can go deeper in knowing Jesus right here, right now, and understand and really know in a more deep way the love of God and the grace and the kindness of God. And that's what we want, and we must sort of press on into that. And then again, the challenge of that is that, you know, as good Bible scholars, is that that requires for me to walk with God and to join with Paul in saying, yeah, forgetting that, we move forward and we discover new things. And we walk with him in a deeper way, is that requires whole heart engagement. You read that through the whole Bible. We've been talking about the heart. Jeremiah 29:13, just after the famous verse, says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart, with all of it. Earlier on in Jeremiah, he talks about returning to the Lord with their whole heart. And the Bible talks like this a lot. You know this. In 1 Chronicles 28, it says, and you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Whole heart engagement. That's what I'm being challenged on. That's what the Holy Spirit is just churning up in me. Forget all of this stuff, where there was undoubtedly whole heart engagement in my life. All those 20 years I've walked, and yeah, great. But that lies behind me, and we're moving on. And where am I now? To be honest with you, at points, and this is my challenge, and I'm sure I'm not alone, but what is the challenge to whole heart God engagement? For me, and you can answer in your own mind, but for me it's the general comfort of my life. It's very easy, you know. We have kids, I'm tired, work is physical, etc., etc., but life is very comfortable, you know. I just walk to Aldi or Waitrose, I buy food, you know, it's easy. Life is very easy and comfortable, and so that is a real challenge to me joining with Paul, saying I'm this way, and I will walk with God, and I will press on, and I will discover more of him, and I will work for him, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so the things that challenge that for me are my general comfort of life. It's very easy. Busyness. But again, not that my life is actually that busy, but I allow myself to be very busy. I don't really organize my life as well as I could. So those are the things that really challenge that. And I'm just so deeply stirred that, you know, this is my life. I'm getting old. I'm having birthdays. They just keep coming. But I am just deeply stirred that I'm walking with God now. All of that lies behind. What am I doing now? I do not want to sort of have years flitter through my fingers and then look back and think, what did I do? I want to walk with God now, day in, day out. I've been so stirred by some of the psalms. This is a really small psalm, actually. It's 131, and just says this: "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, it's not proud. My eyes are not raised too high. I don't occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." And again, in thinking of just walking with God and my life and how I structure it and the things that I do, I'm not proud. I don't think too much of myself. And I trust that continues to be the case. I don't occupy myself with things too great for or too marvelous for me to understand. I'm not fretting, or this is what I want to do anyway as I walk with him. I don't want to fret and worry and struggle and constantly ask why about this. And I don't need to do that. I can just calm and quiet my soul and just find all my satisfaction in him. And I want to walk with God like this. Calm down my soul, quiet down. Stop striving and worrying and fretting, and walk with God from there. And Psalm 62 as well is brilliant. Again, just thinking about how I walk with him, whole heart engagement. It says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence." It's just sort of stopping. You know, you're always, I don't know about you, but I'm always sort of thinking, or you can be guilty of thinking, you know, once this and this happens, it'll be better, and then I'll be really flying when these things. But I just walk now, and I need to find that quiet and silence. "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. For God alone, oh, my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him." And I just, all of these things, I just think, yeah, I need this. I forget all, I've this and that and stories about this, and I can think to a time, though that lies behind me. Where am I now? And I want to know this calm stillness where my soul is satisfied in him, where there is a joy in just walking with him day in, day out, which is my strength genuinely because it's so real. And I am just walking with God day in, day out. There isn't this sort of coming and going and this breaking of communion or whatever, but where speaking and praying with him is just as easy as speaking to Rachel or to a friend, and it's just like breathing. And I just... this is here, and there's Paul saying, this is what we're pressing on to, isn't it? Amen. This is what we're pressing on to. This is what we're pressing on to. This needs to be the spring of our lives. This needs to be the absolute source of my life for everything. If doing this, if when we come to church, if this isn't the spring that feeds everything that we're doing, we haven't really got church. We've just got like a... I don't even know what you'd call it, just like an organized little religious group, but where there is real life and people walking with God in the Holy Spirit day in, day out. That's all church is, and that's what we need. And that's why we need to make sure we're walking with him with our whole hearts engaged, seeking for him, in need of him, knowing our need of him. I don't really have a godly home, again, if the source is not this. If it's not coming out of just a walk with God day in, day out, I don't have anything at work to be able to sort of give as powerful witness to people that Jesus is alive and well if this is not the source of my life. Someone said at the conference, revival isn't having churches full of people, it's having people full of God. And it really caught me because that's what we need. We don't need loads more structure and this and that and masses of people, which would be great, but we need the people we've got here to be people full of God and the Holy Spirit who walk with him. And it's so powerful. Like, conferences are great because you go and you meet people and you talk with people and you talk with people who clearly walk with God in a very deep, powerful, moving way, and you touch them, as it were, and they exude the love of God and they clearly walk with God, and it's stirring. And that's what we need. We all need to be people full of God. That's a community I can get on board with, and I can be excited about. There's this brilliant little moment in 2 Kings chapter 4 where Elisha has just taken on the mantle of Elijah, and he befriends this Shunammite woman who's very kind to him, if you remember the story. We haven't got time to go into it. In the end, Elisha says, "Look, what can we do for you? You've shown me such kindness. What can I do for you? I can put a good word in with you in the king, in the high court or whatever." And her response is brilliant. She just says, "I dwell among my own people." And then the next thing, and then I think Elisha's sort of helper says, well, what can we do for her then? You know, it's like that's the absolute pinnacle of contentment and happiness. Elisha's just said, let me do anything. I can put a word in with the higher authorities. And she just says, well, I dwell it with my own people. I'm absolutely made up. That's my life sorted. I've got friends and family and neighbors, and this is who I live with. And I just think, I feel like that about us. I just think, well, I don't need much. I've got everyone here, family, friends, but I don't need anything more. And what I want is to walk with those people. I dwell among my own people, and I just want to walk with God, with all those people who are walking with God and full of him. And that to me smells like and sounds like church. That's all I'm after. But I'm just challenged to walk with him in that way, whole heart engagement. And I think the most amazing thing about all of this, and again, when you do look back on things and you do just see God's faithfulness, is the grace of God, that he's the one that comes and initiates these stirrings up of our hearts and says, I want to walk with you. And he's drawing us on constantly, taking us on, forgetting what's behind. He's the one that comes and makes us realize, yeah, Lord, I think I'm a bit comfortable. I need this. And he's already doing it. It's his grace in the first place. And then he doesn't get cross. It's a ludicrous thing when you see what Jesus has done and you read the Gospels, for me to then feel like I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry that I don't feel more hungry or thirsty for you. So you sort of feel ashamed to say it, but God again doesn't shout or say, how dare you? I've done all of this. He's just gracious. And we can come and say, Lord, at least acknowledge my need. My life's far too comfortable. I want to be more stirred. I want to be more pressing on in you and knowing your resurrection power. And I'm sorry for all the sort of basically half-hearted, half-baked efforts I put towards things. But again, God doesn't say, yeah, too right, it's embarrassing, which it is. He just gives grace and says, that's fine. And I can say, Lord, I don't have it in me. I don't feel as hungry or thirsty as I think I probably should, but can you help me? And God just extends his hand in grace and says, absolutely. I've never not known God stirring me after praying like that, or asking the Holy Spirit to sort of wake me up or refresh me or revive me or whatever you want to say. He just graciously answers and puts a fresh hunger in us. And he says, come to me, come to my throne of grace, come really boldly, come in absolute confidence to my throne, which is one of grace. And then when we're there, we receive his mercy. And then he said, and we read, and then we find grace to help us in our time of need. So I can come, and this has been what I've been doing, is just saying, Lord, yeah, thank you for all of that. Now I'm here and I'm challenged, and I so just want to know you more, so that church and work and family is as it should be, and I can actually really represent you on the earth. I want to walk with you, Lord, in absolute intimacy, day in, day out, knowing you as a man knows his friend. And he says, well, come, receive mercy, find grace, and then ask for help in time of need. And I feel like, well, I need help, Lord. I need help to be stirred. I need help to just walk with you. And so like I said, these are my musings. But I think it's helpful, and we mustn't, all the churches in the UK at the moment are pretty much coming back now and starting back. You get this sense of like, it does feel like everyone's coming back, starting again. And I just want to start on the right foot. I don't want to end up like I have done in the past, just running around busy, absolutely just, you know, shattered, no energy, duty, 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 and really walking with God, but not walking with God, just busy and running around doing stuff for him, but not walking with him, not knowing Jesus like Paul's talking about in Philippians. And so I just think, yeah, right, let's go back, let's start again. I dwell among my own people. I can't really ask for more, other than I just want to walk with God, and I want to know his love more than I've ever known it before. I want to know his kindness and just the reality of walking with him day in, day out. So time has gone. Let me pray for us, and then we'll finish. Father, we thank you this morning. Each heart, each life represented here, we thank you for all that has gone before, all that lies behind, Lord. We see your faithfulness, We see your mercy, your grace just stamped all over our lives as we have walked with you. And Lord, we want to somehow now in this moment say thank you for those things, but forget what lies behind and press on, Lord, into all that you have for us here, all that you have for us individually and as families, and just to know you, Lord, and the power of your resurrection, the reality of your life in us as we live here on the earth for you, Jesus. I thank you that your heart is so for us, it's so gracious. Lord, you help us, you reveal things to us, you challenge us. But Lord, I just pray that all of us this morning would be just stirred by you, would know you this morning, and that we would all, throughout these weeks, months, years, just continue to press on and to discover the more beyond that you have for us, Lord. We thank you so much for who you are and for how you love us, Lord. Amen.